Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you we can gather once again and pray. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your great love for mankind, your great love for Israel, your absolute perfection, telling us what's going to happen before it happens. And Lord, it's all about you. It's not about us, Lord. May we worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a great chapter today. I think I say that every time. This is one where the prophecy of the coming Messiah is significantly made, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And let's just begin by jumping all the way to Jesus. You won't find the name Jesus in chapter 7 in print, but you'll find it. I mean, you won't find it J-E-S-U-S, but you'll find it in every verse, really. So let's sing, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. And your words are on top of the notes there. Amen. How many of you are going through disappointment right now or have recently? How many of you have had a great idea to do something for the Lord that you just knew was the right thing to do and you went ahead and tried to do it? Well, we have a great example of that today in 2 Samuel 7. We have an awesome aspect of the answer to our prayer is really, and the model prayer, thy kingdom come on earth, thy will be done as it is in heaven. We have that great answer to prayer with when we're praying for the peace of Israel, and that's when the Messiah will come. That's when Jesus will come back. And way back 3,000 years ago, King David was sitting on the throne with a united Israel. He had just brought the Ark of the Covenant in to Jerusalem, as we had last week. Had a little bit of a downer with his wife, Michal. But now we move on to the next verse, and we don't know how much time passed here. But David is living in a cedar house that Hiram sent the cedar from Lebanon. and it's the best you can get. In those days, there wasn't anything better than wood and cedar homes, and he is living in that home. And we read in verse 1, "Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around." The Lord has given him victory over all his enemies because of his trusting in the Lord and following the Lord. That David has this great idea. So he says to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Nathan, the prophetic advisor to the king. And it's good that the king did go to Nathan. Nathan doesn't even question it. He doesn't even seemingly check with the Lord at all. He just says, "Good, go, do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you." There's our first lesson for us today. We have our own idea. This is really a good thing. This will really be good for the Lord. And so let's do it. We might check with our friends and they all say, "Yeah, boy, that's a great idea. Do it, go for it." Well, then we see that it isn't always the Lord's will, or at least the Lord's timing. And we see here now in verse 3, it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David," basically, "no, you can't do that." I think this is probably one of the greatest disappointments that David ever had in his life. When he hears back from the Lord that he can't do what he really wanted to do. And he was so sure there was the right thing to do. So, a lesson for us there with disappointment. What do we do when the thing we really want to do for the Lord and we're sure it's a good idea and he says no? What do we do? What do you do? Well, first, before we get to that point, verse 5, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house for 500-600 years since I brought the children of Israel up out of Egypt," meaning that they were always on the move. So there was no permanent place of worship or the Lord's presence. He was moving with them. He was walking with them. "Even to this day, but I have moved about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts." He reminds him now where he came from and where he is. "I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." In that society at that time, there was no lower place than a shepherd. You didn't have a lower status in society. And there probably were thousands of shepherds, and as far as we know, there may have been some other Davids around, but apparently not a very common name, because David's the only one named David in the Bible, at least up till pretty far into it. And so the Lord reminds him, "I took you from following sheep to ruling over my people." Unbelievable, David, what has happened to you because of what I've done, and I've subdued your enemies. He says in verse 9, "I've been with you wherever you have gone, have cut off your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name." What a great name. Still a great name today, isn't it? And we even have David mentioned in Ezekiel, in the millennial reign, I believe, although a lot of people think that's not David, it's actually Jesus Christ, and it may be, but I think it could be both in a sense. One being a regent of his as the prince. "Made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them." I'm going to build a temple, David, "that they may dwell in a place of their own and have no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies." Also, David, here's what the Lord tells you. Good news and bad news. The bad news is, no, you can't do it. The good news is that he will make you a house. What? A house? Verse 12, very significant verse in prophecy. "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers," in other words, when you sleep, after you sleep, or when you sleep, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Now we see all these dual prophecies here. We see Solomon will come from his body, but we also will see Jesus Christ will come from his body in the ancestral line. And setting up seed after you is also primarily through Jesus Christ, but it is also through Solomon and his sons. We have in Romans 1:3 where it introduces Jesus saying, born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so we have the prophecies all the way through that the Messiah will come from David, will come from the Davidic line. And here is one of the keys there in verse 12 as we have today. Nathan continues to tell David, God shall build a house, or actually God is saying, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Forever. I will be his father and he shall be my son. He's talking now really in a sense about Solomon. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and the blows of the sons of men. So there is a condition here on them following the Lord, and Solomon didn't follow the Lord because of all the wives. And so the kingdom is not going to be continuous in that sense. There's going to be a break. We don't have anybody sitting on the throne of David today, do we, on the earth? You can go over in Jerusalem or wherever you want to go. There's no throne of David with somebody sitting on it. But it will be. There will be. Verse 15. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I refused from before you. Well, I just got through saying there's nobody sitting there today. But he's talking about the mercy of the eventual line of David. It will never die. It will live forever through Jesus Christ. And David understands this, I believe. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before your throne shall be established forever. Wow. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Now, we don't really know what that all included. We have the summary of the words which we spoke, but we don't have anything about the vision in this account. I think things such as Isaiah 9, where unto us a son is given and so forth. There's a lot of other prophetic aspects about which probably was in that vision, but all we have here is the words that were spoken to Nathan, given on to David. Now, what do you do when you're disappointed? Greatly disappointed. You've got some bad news because God says no. You might mark verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. He's not in his house anymore. He goes in and sits before the Lord and prays. Best thing you can do with disappointment. And as it begins to dawn on him what God is really saying, and it's amazing because, you know, we're all about self, right? I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do my thing. And God's saying, if I enable you, you will do what I want you to do. But I've got much bigger plans. I got plans for all of mankind here, not just for you, David, or not just for me, or not for any of us here. And he says, David is dwelling on him, though, what's happening here. He says, and this is a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. You have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And he's saying, this is beyond the manner of man. This is of you. This is supernatural. So then he says, this is so good. Again, when you're disappointed, it's good to be quiet and listen to the Lord. I think often the Lord says, if you will be quiet, I'll talk to you. If you're going to keep talking, then you'll just keep talking. Now, what more can David say to you? That's a good thing to say. What more can Phil say to you? Why don't you just be quiet and listen, right? For you, Lord God, know your servant. In other words, language will fail us at times, many times in terms. It's a hindrance in terms of closeness with the Lord because we have to try to squeeze it all down into something that we can communicate in language. And now, again, the inevitable, why is the Lord doing this? Because David is such a great guy? No. for your word's sake and according to your own heart, the Lord is, we're talking about here, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. It's all about him. It's not about us. But David is just saying, you know, here's the most articulate man in the scripture, really, always has these great things to say. He has nothing to say. He's, in effect, speechless here. But he continues on, therefore, you are great, O Lord. There is none like you, nor there is any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. So we see now that David is giving thanksgiving to God. He is great. This wonderful, eternal promise that he's giving that through him will come, in a sense, the Messiah, the salvation of the people. Now he's going to break for just a few verses and comment about Israel. So pray for the peace of Israel. Israel is here to stay. Israel's not going anywhere, not in their present condition, but they're here to stay. And we read then in verse 23, who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people? Why? To make for himself a name. Again, he didn't choose Israel because Israel's great, or they would do great or not great or anything. He did it because he did it, and to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. Verse 24, for you have made your people Israel, your very own people, for 25 years. Is that what it says? Forever. You have made Israel your very own people forever. So forget the redrawing of the borders and all the Arabs and all the Gentiles and Jews and whatever else that are fighting over there. It's the Lord's in control. For you, Lord, have become their God. That hasn't happened yet, but it will. I mean, it has happened. It's like we're his, but we're really not totally sanctified yet, are we? We're still in these bodies. Now he goes back to finish this prayer. Now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. Now, David is getting into it now. He's going to say at least four times, do it, Lord, do it, Lord, do it, Lord. I don't know if he's maybe thinking, I better get on the right side of this one. I better not let my disappointment get in the way of what the Lord wants to do. So here's kind of the first time in these next verses. Establish it forever and do as you have said. And verse 26, so let your name be magnified forever. Isn't that great? Yeah. Is that like your prayer at all? Do you ever pray to the Lord, Lord, let your name be magnified forever? But he's saying, let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and let the house of your servant David be established before you. So he's saying, let's get it on. Let it happen. Verse 27, powerful verse. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will, and we got all these I wills in here, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray to pray this prayer to you. So the significance of the Lord saying to David, I will build you a house forever. And this house is really twofold. One, it's a temple near term, but long term, it's a royal dynasty. It's a royal dynasty that will never end. Jesus is going to be on the throne forever. Quite a promise. Verse 28, and now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. And I wrote an S in my Bible because I think that's the same promise to us. We are his servants as well, aren't we? Now, in a little different way than he promised David, but it's still the same thing. Is Jesus not coming back for us? Is he not going to take us out of here? Has he not promised us a place with him forever? Absolutely. Verse 29, now therefore let it please you to bless the house of your servant that it may continue before you forever, for you, O Lord God, have spoken it. And with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. So over and over again, at least four times, he's saying, let it happen, let it be forever. So that's our prayer really today, isn't it? Jesus is coming, and he's going to establish his kingdom here on earth forever, but we're not quite there yet. And so he's got some more things for us to do. The fullness of the Gentiles hasn't come in. But we want to be ready. We want to be looking at urgency. We want to be looking at purity in our lives, and we want to be watchful and ready. Father, we thank you for this chapter here, and we see the disappointment in David initially when he is unable to do what he so much wanted to do. But Lord, we also see in 1 Chronicles 29 that even though he couldn't build it himself because of bloody hands, he provided and he planned for the building of it. And we can do that as well, Lord. If you don't have us to be a temple builder and we really want to build a temple, we can help see that it gets done through prayer and effort and work, maybe support financially or whatever. And so, Lord, you have made a place for everyone who wants to participate and be used by you. And Lord, we just see the speechlessness of David as he stands in awe of you. And at times, Lord, I know that's where we want to be and where we are. And then, Lord, lastly, we see when you tell us no for something according to your will, that you will always give us something greater than what we ask for. So, Lord, when our prayers do not get answered the way we want them, or maybe it's the wrong time, and there's basically a no, you can't do it, just know that you've got something better for us than what we ask for. Give us the understanding of that, and help us to look beyond our own self and recognize that everything is from you. And, Lord, our best plans and all of this come to absolutely nothing. We're just here for a short time, and you are forever. So, Lord, lead us now this morning as we pray for the lost, as we pray for the believers, for fruitfulness, as we pray for the body of Christ, as we pray for the kings and those in authority, as we pray for our nation, as we pray for the outreaches still going on in the warmer parts of the Northern Hemisphere, for the Creation Fest and things over in England, and just all of the things you're doing around the world. And so, Lord, lead us now in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.